at one time had this all up and ready. To Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And again, this is another verse that I feel I need to sing. I used to sing this at Academy all the time during the Christmas program with the choir, not by myself. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Happy Sabbath. Folks, do you know you are blessed? Because you're here. Because you know the truth. Because we have a Savior. And we have a future before us for eternity. You're blessed. I want to share with you this morning. Obviously, you see from the title that it's about our Savior. But it's about the beginning. I want to share some thoughts from the beginning. And it began with Eve and Adam and the mistake that they made. Now, they were given one tree, not a grove, not trees scattered all over the Garden of Eden, only one tree. And Satan was waiting there for Eve. Now, what happens before sin, folks? Temptation. Always temptation comes before the sin. Because Satan wants to have us sin. And because they ate of the forbidden tree, they were banished from the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life. Because how would that have worked if they had been in access to the Tree of Life as sinners? Sin would have gone on forever. So they were banned. If you turn with me to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What did the serpent tell? What did Satan tell Eve? Oh, surely God did not tell you, right? You will not die. What did God say? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what, folks? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What love we have from our Savior. Now, unfortunately, death wasn't just Adam and Eve, but death was the creatures, the animals, the living plants, our world. All was affected by death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But God had looked upon his creation, and a plan was already made to save mankind. God had a plan. But folks, a plan to save fallen man. But could anybody be that Savior? Could another fallen man be a Savior? No, folks. Could an angel create beings from other planets? No. It had to be our Creator, our Father, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus took on that plan. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, chapter 15. For chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who is he talking to? Satan. A plan was already made for the salvation of man, for the salvation of us, folks. Because that plan has gone through generations of men. Already a plan was made. to redeem fallen man and to redeem the world. What love of our Savior. And that plan was shared with Adam and Eve in an encouragement to them. I'm sure they didn't think it was going to last this long. Maybe their son, maybe their grandson. But God had made a promise to them, and it's been done. Now we'll begin with our Savior's birth. Some 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah declared in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Is prophecy ever incorrect? Is God ever wrong in what he tells us, folks? Never. Just as prophesied, our Savior was born. Now, folks, our Savior sat on the throne of the universe, creator of other worlds, creator of earth, creator of the angels, adored by all, loved by all, praised by all. Did he come to earth as a king? Did he come to earth as a great ruler? Did he come to earth as, look who I am, your Savior? He took on his own creation, humanity. He became one of us, a baby. Humbled, born in a stable. Folks, did our Savior love us? And all heaven was watching. How many people who had the knowledge, the scholars, the priests, the rabbis, the teachers, how many people were there to welcome our Savior? Where were those individuals? Was it not prophesied? Did they not know of our Savior's coming? Was there a great hotel set up and a great inn for his birth? Born in a stable, folks. How much more humble did the beginning of our Creator, our Savior, begin as one of us? All heaven is watching, wondering where is the reception for our Creator, our God, our Savior? Where are the people? And they wanted to share the good news. But who was he to share it with? Some shepherds on a hill talking maybe about, I wonder if we'll have a Messiah. What will happen? What will come? There's something that they could talk and bring the good news to. And all of a sudden there was a light and thousands of angels. One angel speaking to them. Singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. They had to share the good news. And then they were gone. The light was gone. And the shepherds go, I wonder, because they were told of a Savior being born in Bethlehem. They went and honored Jesus. The shepherds, not the rulers, not the great men, not the king, but the shepherds. Now, already Satan was planning for Jesus' death, because he knew what this was all about. Through Herod the king, he decreed that all 2-year-old boys in Bethlehem be killed. Hard to imagine that kind of thought process. But Satan didn't want our Savior to live. So an angel appeared to Joseph in the night and told Joseph of Herod's plan to kill the babies. And he said, you need to flee to Egypt and take Mary and Jesus with you. Now, folks, did Joseph say, you know, I'd need to be up tomorrow and do such and such, or the donkey's not ready, or did he make an excuse? Did he wait? He went and woke up Mary. They took baby Jesus, and they fled. Folks, how important is a Christian father? That's why he was the father of baby Jesus. Because God knew. He didn't hesitate, he fled. Of course, they lived in Egypt until Herod died. So after Herod's death, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus returned to Nazareth. And Jesus grew up in Nazareth, being taught the scriptures by a holy mother. Where did he learn the scriptures? His mother. Folks, not only how important is a Christian father, but how important is a Christian mother? Who was the mother and teacher of our Savior. Now, can you imagine Jesus growing up as a child? You know, we think of Jesus as an adult, giving the message, healing, the cross. But first, he had to grow up as a child, a human child. And this is just such a miracle to me of God's love. Because he played with other little boys. He played with his brothers. Never an unkind word. Never a sin. A perfect life. He was a child, taught by his mother, read of his holy father, understood. A perfect life as a child. He grew up. Can you imagine being Mary and Joseph and having Jesus for your child? I'll go do this, folks. I'll go do that. Oh, you need this? Never. Oh, I'm not going to do it, Mom. I'm not going to do it, Dad. But a perfect life. What a glorious thing that must have been. And we don't really remember the childhood, but that's why I'm talking to you this morning. Because our Savior grew up as a child, folks, in Nazareth. What a blessing. When Jesus reached the age of 12, it was time for the Passover in Jerusalem. And it was his first trip. I'm sure he was excited to see Jerusalem. Be there for the Passover. And while there, he saw a meeting of the scholars and the teachers and the rabbis and the great men of Israel, the leaders, the brain trust of Israel. So he went and sat down because he wanted to learn from them. He was always wanting to learn more new ideas and thoughts about God. But how did it turn out? He had more knowledge than they had. They gathered around this boy who was telling them things and asking questions and had a knowledge that they didn't even understand themselves. And it went on through the day. Now, again, it's interesting to me that Mary and Joseph left without their Savior, or I'm sorry, without their son. I don't know how that happened. I would, if it was one of my children, I would have said, where's my child? But they had gone. If I remember correctly, like a day or journey or so. and thought he was with somebody else that he wasn't. So they had to return to Jerusalem to look for him. And they searched and asked, and finally somebody said, you know, there's this boy in with the rabbis and the teachers and the priests. So they went and they found Jesus. And they were amazed at the discussion that was going on. But of course, Mary and Joseph were concerned about Jesus and asking him why he was still there. If you turn with me in Luke, the second chapter, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Was he talking about Joseph, folks? He's talking about his heavenly Father, already at 12, already studying the scripture, being taught at the lap of his mother. He was beginning to understand the purpose that he was here for. Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus returned to Nazareth, where he grew up working in the carpenter shop. Now, can you imagine the craftsmanship of Jesus? Not an imperfection, folks. Not an unkindness to the people that come in to buy or to purchase or to get. And I'm sure that it must have spread around Nazareth, the kind of carpenter he was. And he grew. And I can only imagine, can you imagine what it would be to own a piece of furniture made by our Savior? Wow, would that be worth something? What a beautiful thought. What a carpenter. Perfection in all that he did. Perfection in all that he said. Perfection in how he treated others. What a loving Savior. One mistake. Perfect life, folks. Around 30 years of age, he heard of John the Baptist. And that John was speaking of a Messiah coming. So it was time. He closed his shop for the last time, folks. He'd been there in Nazareth through his 20 years, 21, 22, 23 and up, growing, maturing, becoming a man. So he went to hear John at the Jordan River. What powerful messages were being given by John the Baptist. Crowds coming to listen. Making the way for Jesus. For it was not the prediction that he would be giving the news of a Messiah coming, a great man, John the Baptist. And when John saw Jesus, he what? Recognized him, did he not? And said, this is the Messiah. And Jesus requested John to baptize me. What did John say? No, not me, but baptize me, not me baptize you. But Jesus said, no, I need to be baptized. So John baptized Jesus. As Jesus was making his way up out of the water of the baptism, we read in Matthew 3:16 and 17. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well well pleased. Is there any question who our Savior was? Is there any question who our Father is? Is there any question the encouragement needed for Jesus to begin his ministry, knowing that his Father loved him, knowing that his Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? What an encouragement. What a glorious thing. It wasn't the only time that the Father spoke to Jesus. In the same connection that Jesus had with his Father, folks, I want you to know we can have with Jesus and our Savior and our Father. It's an example of what we can have as a relationship. You want to be beloved of our Father and our Savior, folks? If you love me, keep my commandments. After that, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he prayed and communed and fasted for 40 days. And who saw opportunity? Satan. Matthew chapter 4. And folks, again, let's start in verse 3. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" If you are. Remember what comes before sin, folks? Temptation. What was the purpose of talking about stones turned to bread? Our Savior had just been 40 days without food, which he was only sustained by the Holy Spirit. He had to be hungry, folks, did he not? Here, turn these stones. If you're the Savior, if you're God, turn these stones to bread and eat. Wouldn't that be a temptation? But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, know yourself, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Was Jesus tempted by this? Absolutely not. And Jesus said, "It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you shall fall down and worship me." All these things, did he have the power to give? Did Satan have the power to give those things to Jesus? Who was the creator and the Lord? Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Folks, I want to bring out the point, what temptations our Savior went through. Does he understand us? Does he understand when we're tempted? Does he understand our emotions? Does he understand illness? Our Savior was human, folks. What more could we want than somebody that understands us? Somebody who loves us. Somebody who is with us. Jesus began then, after that, his mission here on earth. What was his mission? Love, folks. Our Savior only understands and knows love. That is the only thing. And I'm not going to go through, because if I went through all the parables and all the teaching and all the healing and all the raising of the dead to life by the power of God, the good that he could do for man. And understand, folks, he wasn't trying to evangelize the world. He was trying to teach about God and about him and about salvation, about the Sabbath. If I was to go on with that, we'd be here till supper and then come back for midnight meeting. So I'm not going to cover that because we just don't have the time. But you know the story. But there's one story I want to share. John 11, verses 34 to 36. And this is when he had come to heal Lazarus, because Mary and Martha had sent a message. But he didn't get there in time, did he, folks? And what did Mary and Martha say? If you had only come, we know you could have healed him. But did Jesus have a different plan in mind? Absolutely. Verse 34, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Was our Savior human? Did he have human emotions? What love he had for Lazarus, for Martha, for Mary. Another time he wept when he was riding triumphantly into the holy city, Jerusalem. And the procession stopped, if you remember, and he wept. Why was he weeping, folks? Because he wept for all those who will be lost, that he could not come and save. When one soul is saved, is there not joy in heaven? What's God's purpose? He has only one purpose, folks, to love and to save. That's it. Love and to save. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." I can only imagine that Jesus needed comfort and fellowship. Why he loved Lazarus, Martha, and especially Mary, because they had quite a relationship, I'm sure. And our Savior needed companionship throughout. Now, same chapter, John 11, verses 43 and 44. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave cloth, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." What a miracle, folks. And the thing about it is God going to raise the dead when he comes for the resurrection? He can he not, folks? No question. They're resting, waiting for Jesus. We are waiting for Jesus. I've prayed, "Lord, let me be alive when you come." What a wonderful thing, folks. We're getting close. Now, we'll go through, and I'm not going to cover because, again, time. But we know that Jesus died on the cross. What he went through, folks. And on the cross, remember the thief? And as an example for us one more time. Did the thief have to perform some great duty? Did he have to go back and make right his wrongs? He confessed. He He confessed to Jesus, I know you're the Savior. I want to be with you. And what was the promise? You shall be with me in the kingdom. The kingdom's open to every person willing to accept it at any point in their life. What hope there is, folks. What hope. And on the cross, remember the last words. It is finished. Was he talking about his death? In a way, yes. But what he was talking about was he had won. The great rebellion, the great conflict, the great controversy was done. It was finished. But there's one more aspect that sometimes we don't think about that's important. Matthew, chapter 28, I'm tired. Every morning's been up at 5:30 or longer until dark with everything that's happening, so please bear with me. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. How important was Jesus' death? Very. But folks, there's one more aspect. He's not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come, see the place where he lay. So folks, not only is death part of our salvation, but our Savior has risen. It's finished. It's over. It's done. Not a question. We're not looking forward to it. We're looking back to being done. He's risen, folks. I want to share with you briefly what we have to look forward to. You know, we have to look forward to being with our Savior for eternity, being with our Father for eternity, being with the Holy Spirit, the angels for eternity. That's before us, folks. It's real. We have it right here for our acceptance. We have the ability to be with each other for eternity. How precious is that, folks? Love one another, because we're going to be together for eternity. The war between good and evil is over. The judgment day has come and gone. Now we will see God make a new plan to replace the one destroyed by Satan. We'll get to see it. God's creatures gather to watch, men and women, boys and girls, angels and beings from every corner of the space. Marvel at the new beginning, the replacement, once again, of earth made new. And we get to see it this time, folks. That'll be pretty awesome. I don't know if I'll get to see a tractor or not, but... You know, it'll be the earth no longer with all of the curse, the weeds, having to labor to eat and live. And believe me, I understand being a farmer, it seems every year there's more weeds, there's more bugs, there's more pests. The hours are longer, the work is harder just to provide food or for mankind. Not when the heaven is recreated. We will remember nothing of the old. It's gone. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. All gone. No remembrance of the old planet destroyed by Satan. It's gone. Burned up. Over. We'll have every kind of trees and valleys, and the Garden of Eden will be brought back. Also, What will come down? After 1,000 years, the holy city. John could not even begin to describe what he saw, how marvelous it must be. Streets of gold, 12 gates with a huge shining pearl, walls that are clear as crystal, because there'll be no reason to be kept in or out. We'll have mansions. Remember, God says, I've gone to prepare a mansion for you. You. We will have homes in the country. How awesome is that? The new city will become the planet. The new city will be the center of the planet and the center of the universe. It'll be God's throne where he commands the universe from and will be with him. Our minds will be forever searching for the answers to the question through the endless ages. We continue to grow in grace and intelligence because God our Father is the source of light. There'll be no sun or moon because our Savior, our Father, will be the light. Life and love in the universe is the source of our Father and God and the Holy Spirit. This has all been made possible because he has sent his only Son to die for us, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. From the Creator of all things flow life, light, gladness throughout the vast reaches of space. God, folks, is love for us. What a glorious day of redemption is coming. And the redeemed will be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, folks.
Please stand with me and sing it like you mean it.
Forever.
Dear Jesus, dear Father, dear Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for your love. I pray for each person present today, for our church family, dear Father. I pray for the blessings and that we will be with you for eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.